Sichos Soran, paragraph 7. Rabbi Nazal says that it's very good if a person is able to pour out his heart to Hashem and plead and beg Hashem like a small child pleads and begs with a father when he really wants something desperately. Because we see that Hashem calls us His children. There's a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim, chapter 14, where Hashem's pasuk says, "Bonim atem laHashem alekechem." You are children to Hashem. So therefore, Rabbi Nazal says, it's very good whether a person's 30 years old, 60 years old, 90 years old, to be able to, when they're speaking to Hashem, especially in Hispoidedus or in Tefillah, to be able to do it like a small child would do it. With the kind of pleading and begging that a child does when they really want something desperately from daddy. We know that there was an incident with Rabbi Nazal himself, that one time towards the end of his life when he was ill and he had a grandson who was young, 3-4 years old, and Rabbi Nazal went over to his grandson and said to him, "Please daven for me that I should be well." So the grandson looked at grandpa who was 37 years old, and said to him, give me your watch. We know that there's a pidyon that when you ask a tzaddik to be mispalel for you, you're supposed to give something, supposed to give tzedakah. So Rabbi Nazal smiled and said, look at that, he's a guter yid already, he's a tzaddik already, he knows, see. Rabbi Nazal took his watch and gave it to him. And his grandson turned away from him. He turned to the wall and said, "Hashem, please make the Zayda better. Please make grandpa feel better." So there were other people in the room who were smiling like adults smile when they see a child do something cute. Rabbi Nazar looked at them and said, "What are you smiling about? That's tefillah. That's exactly how adults are supposed to pray. You see the simplicity, the way you see the way this kid stood saying, 'Hashem, please make grandpa feel better.' That's the way adult is supposed to daven. Like a child standing before Hashem with that simplicity and sincerity and coming from the heart, coming from deep inside." Now, interesting, in the Sefer Noyam HaSichos, which was written by one of the Breslev, or a young Breslev Chosid today, He quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, page 36, the Gemara has a debate between two major rabbis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda, based on this pasuk, "Bonim atem laHashem alekechem." The question is, when does this title apply to the Jewish people, that we're considered Hashem's children? Is it only when we're good, or even when we misbehave? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bizman shatem noyagim minek bonim," when you act like children, then you're called children. When you don't act like children, you act like foreigners, then you're not considered children. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, "Chas v'shalom, benkach u'benkach atem kruyim bonim." Whether we're good children or we're bad children, we're still children. We're still Hashem's children. A child, a wife, a husband, they can divorce. A child can't, you can't divorce a child, chas v'shalom. As the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, chapter 4, "Bonim scholim hein." There's a pasuk that says they're bonim scholim. Then there's another pasuk in Chumash Dvarim which says, "Bonim loyemun bon," children who I have no faith in. Then there's a pasuk in Yeshaya which says, "Zera mereim bonim mashchisim," children that are destructive, destroyers. These are three examples of different levels of misbehavior on the part of children. And then Rabbi Meir says, the pasuk says in Hosea, "V'hoya b'mokoyim asher yomer lehem loynau amiatem," instead of Hashem saying, "You are not my people, I don't know you, I don't want to know you," yomer lehem, Hashem will say to the Jews, Bini Kel Chai, the children of the living Hashem. So Rabbi Meir says, what is this pasuk being brought to tell us? That a person might think that it's only when children act foolishly, when they do something silly, then they're still called children. But when they act in a way that the parent sees that the child cannot be trusted, then we don't call them children anymore. So for this, we have the pasuk that says, Bonim lo yemun bam. My children, who I have no faith in them. Meaning though, even though they've gotten to a level where I have no faith in them, they're still called bonim. And if a person would say, okay, fine, that's no faith. I don't trust them because they don't believe in me. They don't believe in Hashem. But what about when they cross the line and they start worshiping idols? Are they still considered Hashem's children then? The pasuk says, Zera mereim bonim mashchisim. Children who are destructive. Mashchis is one of the most severe words of destruction in the Torah. That even though they are mashchisim, even though they're doing destructive, they're committing destructive acts, worshipping idols, Hashem still calls us bonim. And then the Gemara goes further to say, okay, he calls us bonim mashchisim though. He calls us destructive children. So for this, the Gemara adds, the Gemara brings that pasuk from Hosea at the end, where the pasuk says, V'hoyo bimkoim asher yomer lehem lo yamiatem, that when Hashem will see us even at our worst times, instead of Hashem saying, you are not my people, yomer lehem b'ni kel chai, you are the children of the living Hashem. Meaning that even chas v'shalom, when we fall into idol worship and everything, if we do tshuva, if we choose to repent, if we choose to come back, we are called b'nei kel chai, the children of the living Hashem. And this is one of the things that a person can use in his spiritus when speaking to Hashem. That Hashem, I know I've done foolish things, I know I've done terrible things, but the Torah tells us clearly that no matter what a person, no matter what a Jew does, you still consider us your children. You don't say, I don't know you, I don't want to know you. That if we show sincere regret, if we show that we want to come back, we can come back. This is what the Torah says, and to plead and beg Hashem for forgiveness and to beg Hashem to take us back. Rabbi Nizal goes on to say in this paragraph that even if it seems to a person that based on their actions, I'm not a son, I don't act like a... We know there are times that a parent tells a son, you are not my child, because you don't act like a child. You act like a stranger, a total stranger. You don't care about anything. You're not looking to contribute to the house in any way, chas v'shalom. That still, the Gemara shows, as Rabbi Meir proved from those psukim, that Hashem calls us his children even in the worst of times. And even if a person feels that Hashem is rejecting them, still, and doesn't want to consider me his son anymore, a person can say, Hashem, you do what you want. I am still going to do whatever I possibly can to get back into your good graces, to behave like a son. And Rabbi Nizal says, if a person can put their heart into it and really beg with sincerity, and if a person can cry like a child cries sometimes in front of parents, when a child really feels bad about something that they did, or when a child really feels that they need something desperately and they can't take no for an answer, there's no option of no, the child won't leave. They'll persist, they'll be stubborn until they're able to get what they want. Rabbi Nizal said, this is the way that a Jew should be in tefillah, especially his spiritus, personal tefillah. Now, Rabbi Nosenzal goes on to say that Rabbi Nizal said a story from his grandfather, Reb Nachman Horodenker, who was his grandfather on his father's side, that Rav Nachman Horodenko was once traveling on a boat, and they were traveling possibly to Eretz Yisrael, and they had no food. They ran out of food, and there were a few days that had gone by that he hadn't eaten, to the point where they were desperate in their hunger, until they finally got to a city where there were no Jews there in that city, only Turks. And one of the Turks took Reb Nachman Horodenko. He saw that this person hadn't eaten for a few days, and he prepared a meal for him. So Reb Nachman washed his hands, he made a moitzi, and he's about to take a bite out of the bread, and suddenly he reminds himself of a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, Al tilchan es lechem ra'ayin. A pasuk in Mishle, chapter 23, which says that a Jew should be careful not to eat the food, the bread, of a person who has an evil eye. And Reb Nachman Horodenko said, the fact that this pasuk flashed on the screen, this flashed in his mind at that moment, he knew that it's not Stam, that's Hashem sent him that message. Hashem was sending him this, a red alert in a sense. And he was wondering, what do I do now? I made a bracha already. I said, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. And yet, the Torah warns, Al tilcham lechem ra'ayin. And this is the Gemara mentions this. The Gemara says, a person who eats the bread of a person who has an evil eye is over this. One opinion is he's over one lav or two lavin, two major violations in the Torah. The Zohar HaKadosh goes so far to say that when the Jews went down to Egypt, had they not eaten from the food of the Egyptians, they would not have been stuck in Egypt for hundreds of years. The fact that they ate from the food of the Egyptians, even though it was kosher, the fact that they ate from the food of a goy is what locked them in, what forced them to be able to stay in Egypt for hundreds of years. So Reb Nachman related that right afterwards, he reminded himself of a different pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, referring to Elyanovi, that there was once a time when Elyanovi was running for his life from Achov, from a king, an idol worshipper, who was king of the Jews at that time, who Elyanovi had a serious run-in with him, and Achov was looking to kill him, and Elyanovi had to hide out. He was hiding in a cave and had no food. And Hashem said to Elyanovi, Vesho'irvim tzivisi l'chalkalecha. I have designated ravens to supply you with food. The Gemara says in Chulin, the beginning of Chulin, that these ravens went into the kitchen of Yehoshaphat. Achav was, there were two kings of the Jews at that time. Achav, who was an idol worshipper, and Yehoshaphat, who was a righteous person, a righteous king. One was the king over the 10 tribes, the other one was the king over the 2 tribes. So these ravens were sent by Hashem to go bring food from the kitchens of Yehoshaphat for Elyanovi. Now we know that a raven, the Gemara says a raven, is ra'ayin. A raven not only is a black bird and a bird that's nasty and negative to others, even its own young, it refuses to feed, to take care of. Raven is the epitome of ra'ayin. And yet Hashem sent, in this particular circumstance, Hashem sent the ravens to provide food for Elyanovi. So Reb Nachman said, when that pasuk came into his mind, he took it as a green light that it's okay, that in this particular circumstance, it's okay for him to eat. And Rabbeinu Zal said that he enjoyed very much hearing this, that his grandfather took every thought that came into his mind seriously. He knew that if Hashem sent him this thought, the first thought that came when he reminded himself of the pasuk that said, be careful eating from a ra'ayin, that slammed the brakes on him. And when he recognized the second pasuk, he understood that this was a message. He was given a message by Hashem to stop, and he was given a message to go. La havdil, a person gets to a red light, it doesn't mean permanent stop. It means stop and wait for it to turn green. When the second pasuk entered into his mind, he knew that this was a green light from Hashem. Rab Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal said that the same thing is true when a person is davening, especially in tefillah, and there are thoughts that come to a person to bombard the person. There are negative thoughts that come to a person at the time to make the person think, Hashem's not listening, and why should he listen to my prayer? All the different thoughts that would want to weaken a person in tefillah. And then sometimes a person gets a thought, a message, but the Torah says we are Hashem's children. And I know Hashem does want, and that tzaddikim tell us that the further a person is away from Hashem, the more pleasure Hashem gets when such a person reaches out to Hashem. So the person should know that even if at times it seems to him that he's not on the furthest thing from Hashem's son, a child, still there are times that Hashem will send the person other thoughts to remind him of Hashem's deep love for the Jewish people and every Jew in every circumstance, because we are called Hashem's children, and therefore this should inspire the person to turn it on, to open his heart and express his pain before Hashem like a child, like a beloved child before a parent, knowing and being confident that the tefillah will be accepted, that it will be accepted. Hashem wants to hear from us. There's a pasuk, Mi Kashem Alekenu Bechol Koreinu Elov. Who is like Hashem whenever we call out to Him? That Hashem is always available. Doctors, other people, you have to make an appointment, and he's not. People have cell phones today. We're living in a time where you would think it's almost impossible not to reach someone. And yet we know that in real life, it is untrue. Sometimes today, with all the technology, it's harder to reach a person than in the old days, when you just walked 6 miles to his house, you knocked on the door, and you knew he was there. Today, he's on a plane, and those days, there were no planes. Most people were home. They spent either home, or he went out to business and came back home. Today, with all the technology, it's still so difficult. But for Hashem, we don't need a cell phone. We don't need a fax. Without any tools at all, just the person opens their mouth and opens their heart, the pasuk says, Mi Kashem Alekenu Bechol Koreinu Elov, that whenever a Jew calls out to Hashem, Hashem is available instantly, always available, instantly available. Shbizecha to believe it and to make full use of this privilege.